Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite.
You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah,
Ryan. We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double D, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Living Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call in number.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty Lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom Show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com. Hello, freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireta. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Again, everyone, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so Joanne Moretti will be joining us here in just a second. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything else that you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into tonight's conversation. So, Joanne, welcome in.
Hey, everybody. Hello, Proof. Hi, Freedomizers. How is everybody tonight?
Hey, Joanne, I don't know if that crackling is you or me, so one of us doesn't have a good connection.
I don't know. How is it now?
I hear it crackling. If you could talk for a minute, I'll go ahead and hang up and try to call back in.
I was going to say, I'll do that.
Okay.
I can hear you fine.
Go ahead. You can try first.
All right.
Sorry about that. We'll make sure Joanne has a good phone line, and we'll start over here. Anyway, I was looking at the Trump jurors, allegedly. Two of them have already been canceled out. And let's try Joanne again here.
Hi, Joanne? How is that? Is that any better?
100% better.
Okay, yeah, it was probably my phone. So how is everybody tonight? We were having technical difficulties last night, so our show ended up not being able
to. Joanna had her show on right before us, and I tried to get in, and it's not happening. So we were here, I promise.
Oh, yeah, we were here. And we were ready, and there was so much going on. There still is, of course. But, yeah, so anybody who was disappointed not hearing us last night, we're disappointed, too. And
you know
thank
what
you
I was disappointed about yesterday more than anything? That we couldn't talk about Brandon's uncle, Uncle Bozy, who got eaten by cannibals.
I know, right? And I thought that was the funniest thing, the best thing I'd heard in so long. Poor Uncle Bozy got eaten by cannibals. It's not true.
Well, was he saying that he represented the Haitians also? Is that the new thing?
I don't know. I think that's what happened. I think that he got like a little brain mix up there. But his uncle was named Ambrose Finnegan. And he was in the Army Air Guard. His plane, he was a passenger on a plane. He wasn't flying it. He was a passenger on a plane that went down over the Pacific. He was not shot down. And they never did find his body. They never found the wreckage. They found the wreckage of the plane, but they never found any bodies. But they had a swim for it. Cannibals didn't get him. But that was the coolest story.
Yeah, it was almost as good as Corn Pop.
I know, right? I was thinking about Corn Pop, too. He was talking about Corn Pop was being a bad dude, and he was swinging a chain, and he got in a fight with him. But he also was saying how when he puts his legs in the water, the long hair on his legs
rises to the surface. They turn blonde in the sun. And you have to stutter it just like that.
Yeah, they turn blonde in the sun. And all the little black kids rub the hair on his legs.
Yes.
Well, maybe that's why Corn Pop was swinging a chain at him. You got some guy with his legs in the pool making the little kids rub his legs. I'd be swinging a chain at him, too.
Right. Corn Pop was a good dude. He hung around with a lot of good boys.
Yeah, he hung around with a lot of the good boys. Well, he was probably trying to stop Biden from molesting the children.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So maybe he wasn't such a bad dude after all. He might have been a good dude trying to catch the pedo. They're not even calling them diddlers anymore. They're calling them ditties. You know that?
Oh, yeah, just,
Yeah, like the ditty. Yeah, everybody's
a
ditty
now. You know there's a certain superhero that's into that kind of thing.
Yep. Well, he's got to be picking up on the ditties now instead of the diddlers.
So there's a bunch of stories I want to get into, but I can't believe I gotta leave you real quick, but I need like 2 or 3 minutes. So, Joanne, if you want to meet us.
All right, kiddo. Well, what should we talk about first here? Let's talk about mortgage and interest rates for a minute, because we have a real problem. Commercial real estate foreclosures are up 117% last month. Now, we've talked about this quite a few times, about how, you know, people, when they made everybody stay home and work from home and work by Zoom, all these places with big offices like insurance companies and whatever, they realized they didn't need those big buildings full of offices, and they could get everybody to work from home. So they gave up the leases on these big, huge real estate and office buildings and stuff. And now they can't even give them away. And the people that own them, they're losing them to foreclosure. Foreclosure, 117%. Now, no one's going to buy buildings and stuff either because of the mortgage interest rates. Why would you even try to reconsider buying a house right now? Or even, I don't know, maybe refinancing. You're going to give up what you have for an interest rate to pay more? Or you're going to give up, you know, your house and paying through the teeth for a new one for the same price No. That's what's going on here. So brace yourselves, everybody, for a huge housing and real estate crash. I don't know if they're going to be able to bail it out. And we got so much other stuff going on, too. Let's get back to Biden for a second. I was going to wait for proof to get back. But we talked about Uncle Bozy being eaten by African cannibals. But I don't know if you all saw him today. They sent him out to Pennsylvania. Now, he was making beelines for young children, as usual. He had to be steered away from them. He got completely, like, mesmerized by a box. He went into a Wawa, and he ordered a milkshake. Of course, that's because Trump went into a store and ordered milkshakes for everybody. He went into Chick-fil-A a couple days ago. But Biden wanted to copy him. He thought he was going to get this huge welcome. It was like a library in there. He didn't get a welcome. Nobody was screaming, four more years, and we love you, Biden. None of that. Outside, people were screaming, F Joe Biden. But inside, you know, you could have heard a pin drop. Anyhow, he arrives there. He goes to get off the plane. He gets halfway down the stairs, and they put him on the big boy stairs. Gets halfway down the stairs, and now he's lost. He doesn't know if he's going up or down. He turns around, then he turns around again. Not completely turned around, but he was like thinking, should I be going up the stairs? And then he saw somebody wave to him, and so then he continued down the stairs. And that was the beginning of the bad day. So then he walks into the store, and somebody's trying to talk to him. He completely ignores him. This black guy's trying to talk to him. He like literally spins his whole body to get away from the guy that's trying to talk to him and makes a beeline for a little kid. But, of course, he got stopped. The Secret Service guy redirected him. Then he goes up to the counter, and another woman's trying to talk to him. She's shaking his hand. He's pulling his hand away from her. But then a younger woman, I don't know, she looked like 17, 18 years old. She goes to shake his hand. Now he won't let go of that one's hand, the young girl. Made a big deal out of her. He was like bobbing and weaving to try to get a better look at her. And then once he had her in his grasp, he wouldn't let her go. He's talking to other people. He's still holding on to this young girl's hand. She was very uncomfortable about it. And then he goes and tells the story about the uncle getting eaten by the cannibals, which never happened. But he had a very bad day. He was just completely lost, discombobulated, and then just being a creeper. I mean, he's sneaking up on kids, and yeah, it was awful. He did not get the reception that he thought he was going to get. It was a complete bust. So he's trying to do what Trump is doing. You know, they made Trump stay in New York. So what's he going to do? He's going to campaign in New York. And let me tell you something. New York is in play. If you saw those beautiful people, hundreds of them all showed up to see Trump. And there was black people and brown people. There was a couple of white people. They're all in Harlem, New York, showing Trump love. I thought that was wonderful. And, of course, all the media was there. The place was saturated with media. Trump walked right over to them, and he was answering their questions. They were all firing questions at him. And he was giving them excellent responses, well-thought-out responses, not just stupid stuff. Never once said any of his relatives got eaten, but
wow, yeah,
his relatives did not get eaten, not that we know of. But Trump, he just, what a contrast. When you put those videos of the two of them side by side, Biden looks like a feeble old degenerate. Really, the way that he like oogles over children and young people. I don't know about that. I don't know who he thinks he is, Don Juan or what. But if you saw him, like, bobbing and weaving to look around the lady who was talking to him to try to see that young girl, he was, oh, it was pathetic. And how does his wife put up with that anyhow? I mean, you got to pull him off, people. He's awful clingy.
Well, remember, she got married as the babysitter.
Yeah, she was the babysitter, all right. She's still babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
What a piece of work he is. And his his threats to everybody. Don't. The hell is that supposed to mean?
That,
don't.
That's
don't
all
what?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, or else what? There's no consequence to that. And it was all set up in advance. He knew that Iran was going to strike Israel. He knew exactly what type of weapons they were going to use, how big the strike was going to be. And I think he was going to let it happen. But if you remember, Trump had a meeting with Mohammed bin Salman a little less than 2 weeks ago. It was before the attack on Israel again by Iran. But, yeah, Mohammed bin Salman was in New York visiting with Trump. And the Polish president is there right now visiting with Trump. So I think that Trump talked to bin Salman, who's part of that Abraham Accord. He had to have, because Jordan, the Saudis, and the Egyptians were all intercepting missiles. So that Abraham Accord gave them all the defense systems. You know, everybody had a defense system, and they worked in conjunction. And none of those missiles, one got through, but it was a broken one, and it fell, you know, dead. It didn't explode. It was already, like, shot out of the air. But one did fall inside of a residential area, but that was the only one. So they were well prepared for it. But it wasn't just Israel that was defending itself. Jordan and Egypt and the Saudis were all helping Israel too. So, I don't know, I think that was disappointing to Biden and that whole administration. But somebody spilled the beans, because Israel was prepared too. You know, and let's talk about that Ukraine war for a minute. Is there really a Ukraine war, or are we being chumped? We're just being raided. I saw pictures of spring break over in Ukraine. And there's crowds, you know what I mean? It looked like Miami. That doesn't look like a country at war. And
well, I figure the average,
you know,
person
Biden
is not going to go over to the Ukraine, so they're not going to be able to confirm anything.
Right. Yeah, but you know, also think, this guy Zelensky, he sure entertains a lot of high-powered people over there. And he runs around the world when he's not bringing guests to Ukraine. He's running around visiting them. He's over in London. He's in the United States. He's up in Canada. He's in Australia. I mean, this guy's like, where's Waldo? He's all over the world, and people from all over the world are visiting him in Ukraine. And I think we need better pictures. I think we need better reports, too, coming out. Somebody's got to go over there and check and see what's really going on. Because we're spending an awful lot of money. And you notice how they're not saying, okay, this region is under attack, or the Russians showed up here, or the Ukrainians took that town back. We're not hearing any of that. All we're hearing is money, 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 money. Give me the money, give me the money, give me the money. And the whole world's going to fall apart if Ukraine doesn't get the money. What's the money for? So, what kind of weapons? Where are these weapons being used? Used on who? How many Ukrainians are dead? How many Russians are dead? How many are injured? Where is the war reports, the updates? You know, every war that we've ever seen, they got embedded journalists and stuff. Journalists can't even operate over there. No journalists are allowed to embed. This is fishy proof. This is really fishy now. You know, at least there was proof of war before. There's no proof of war here. So, I mean, I'm not rooting for war. I'm rooting for peace.
Oh, I know.
But I'm tired of us getting stiffed. And Trump put out a thing today, you know, the Europeans have more at stake than we do. So where's their money? Who's helping? You know, why isn't Europe helping Ukraine? All these billions of dollars and no one's getting off a nickel but us. So what's that all about? You know, like Germany sent one tank, or whoop-de-doo. And a couple of other things, you know, sent cots or some supplies, but nothing war stuff. I think with just Greece and military industrial complex, I think that the disposing of weapons so we can buy all brand new ones and keep our military industrial complex in business. And all this money they want, some of it is to pay for material that these weapons companies have already sent but haven't been paid yet. So coming off this money, but it's not going to Ukraine. It's going to American, like Raytheon and Honeywell and, you know, people who make weapons and people who do all war logistics stuff and ships and stuff. So I don't know. I think we're getting snookered. We don't see any of the damage. We don't see any of the fallout. We don't see, you know, how every single war since television was invented, there have been reporters showing what's going on. And there's war photographers all over the place. Even in World War II, they had war photographers. Where's the pictures? There aren't any. You know, like I said, all they talk about is money. Money, money, money. Where's the money? They don't say, you know, we need so many tanks and so many planes. And we're not giving them planes. You know, so what kind of war are you fighting with no planes?
One that's not in the water.
Yeah, so it's a ground war. What kind of weapons are we giving them? Tanks? Tanks are obsolete. You push buttons now. You don't fight with tanks. I don't know. I think we're just, you know, shaking off old inventory and getting ready to buy new inventory, and this is a way to do it. It's an awful lot of money. And we're paying for things like, I saw a bag of bushings, and it was $90,000 that the Defense Department had paid. It was like a Ziploc bag with bushings in it. They probably cost $90, not $90,000. We just blow money. I don't know if everybody out there knows what bushings are, but they're like a rubber gasket with a little bit of metal in them, you know, for sturdiness. But they're for parts that move. You know, like if you got tie rod ends in your car, you need bushings to stabilize them. But the bushing has, you know, has to allow the piece to move. So they're about as big as a washer. And $90,000 we paid for those. Wow. That's a nice down payment on a house.
What do you think about all this talk about getting rid of Mike Johnson as Speaker?
Oh, that's another game they're playing. Mike Johnson is doing everything that the Democrats want. And he had really about face since that picture of him with Paul Ryan coming down the stairs. You know, he was supposed to be this really nice Christian guy, and he's a, you know, solid Republican. Well, if he's a solid Republican, he said he wasn't going to pass anything until we secured the border. And the border's not secure. And they passed that omnibus bill. They still want more money for Ukraine, and they want money for Israel. Those should be two separate bills. They should be standalone bills because they're two separate wars. But they want to tie that together. And he wants to pass them. Still not about the border, but he said he wasn't going to pass anything until the border was secure. We have an estimated 17 million illegals that have crossed into the United States since Joe Biden took office. That's a lot of people. 92% of them are military-age men. They're from all over the world. They're from everywhere, from Haiti to China. Now, 130,000 people walked out of China, and China knew nothing about it. That didn't happen. That's baloney. And they all get in here. We got, you know, Trump's not wrong. There might be a lot of nice people, but there is a lot of not-so-nice people, too. Venezuela's crime's gone down. They emptied out their prisons. They emptied out their youth detention centers, their insane asylums, their foster homes, their, you know, orphanages. Put them all on buses and sent them to the United States. And NGOs helped them all along the way, NGOs that we pay for, through USAID and through the UN and through all kinds of money that we're paying to invade ourselves with. And they, you know, if you're going to give Catholic Charities $500 million to take care of illegals, well, the Catholic Charities is going to go get themselves some illegals. No illegals, no money, right? So they're going to go get illegals so they get more money. And the same with the Jewish Federation and the USAID and the Red Cross and all these offshoot NGOs. Remember when they used to tell us that, oh, yeah, the cartels are letting people go over the border and the cartels are bringing them all here? No, the cartels are not. The cartels are just mules, and they're the last step of the journey. They're a piece of it, but they're certainly not the masterminds. That takes whole governments. But now they're at least saying, okay, it's NGOs. And they're admitting that USAID is funneling money. USAID, they're the worst ones for child trafficking, too. Remember what they were doing in Haiti? Remember what they were doing in Africa and Libya and all those places? Yeah, stealing children. Yeah, no, they were stealing children, kidnapping children and selling them. Do you know how many slaves, you know, we thought we ended slavery, and we got all these people screaming for reparations? Oh, we got a whole new wave of slaves come over that border. Out of those 17 million, I bet you at least 1 million of them are slaves. And they are working in the chicken plants, and they are working on the farms, and they are working in the brothels. And they're not working of their own free will, and they're not benefiting out of the money that's received for their services. They're slaves. So I don't want to hear any more baloney about the slaves. That was way back in the day. We got slaves right now. What are we going to do about that? Let's pay it forward. Let's free some of these slaves. You know, these people were taken from their mothers and fathers and just grabbed up off the street. Women and children brought here to the United States against their will, a lot of them. And you know that migrant shelter in New York, do you know that like 15% of the girls that are leaving that shelter, young girls, are pregnant?
No.
Yeah, there's a lot going on over there in those shelters. Now, 15% doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're talking about teenage girls, 15% of the teenage girls leave that place pregnant. Wow. So anybody think that's their free will? And they're just piling more and more on. And they're just, you know, they're packing them like cargo. This is very bad what's going on here with these illegals. And, I mean, I know they were blaming Greg Abbott in Texas, but he sent 13,000 to New York. There's 300,000. Where does New York think the rest of them came from? Not from Abbott, not from Texas, not from DeSantis.
Right.
No, those all came from Biden. And now he's not even sending them over across the border because he's trying to snooker us even worse. He's literally sending planes to Haiti and picking up groups of people there and to Ukraine and to Gaza. He's bringing a lot of people from Gaza into New York and into Nevada. He's bringing a lot of Haitians, 35,000 Haitians he's already brought over here to Florida. Mm. And those, they never crossed the border. They were flown in. They went on the app in Haiti and got a plane sent to them and brought them here. So now we have 35,000 refugees recently landed in Florida from Haiti. And who knows? And the people, some of the people coming across the border are trying to tell Border Patrol, don't let them in. Those are the people we're running from. But they get in anyhow.
It don't matter, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's the innocent people coming across, not innocent because they're coming across illegal, but, you know, the non-criminal activity people, you know, begging them, don't let those people in. Those are the bad guys. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. They're trying to give us a heads up. You know, we ran from those people from our country, and they followed us here. And these people are not free when they get here. You know, the cartels will tell them, you owe me. And if you don't give me those cards that the UN just gave you with the $1,400 a month on it, you owe me those cards. I don't care how else you find money, but you owe me for the trip over here. And if you don't pay me, I'm going to kill your family back home. I'll kill your mother. I'll kill your father. I'll kill your children. So, these people aren't getting to hold on to those cards. They're putting them up in hotels. They're feeding them, clothing them, and sheltering them. So whoever got them here is taking that money that they get when they get here away from them. They're not getting lump sums. We're giving them lump sums, but they have to turn it over to who brung them. You know, and they're putting these young girls out prostituting. You know, they're picking up 12, 13, 14-year-old girls in New York. And the girls are crying, please, please don't take me. Don't take my money. Because, the pimp's going to beat them. They're terrified. They're begging to get sent home, some of these children. You should see the stories coming out of these places. It really is inhumane. We have to send them back. We cannot accommodate them. We cannot provide for their safety. We cannot provide for our own safety from a lot of them. And this is just not going to work out. It's not going to work out for us, and it's not going to work out for most of those illegals here. And they don't qualify for asylum. Economic reasons are not a qualifier. Persecution is, religious persecution, gender identity persecution, things like that. Okay, you could say maybe, if your government's persecuting you, maybe you do qualify for asylum. But because you're broke and you can't find a job in your home country, that's not a qualifier. That doesn't make you a refugee. That makes you an economic migrant. So, we give them court dates. Most of them don't show up. Pretty close to all of them. But most of them, they don't even show up for the court dates because they know they're going to say they're going to be denied, and then there'll be a deport out for them. But we got to at least round up the bad ones. The ones that are holding these people hostage and making them work and making them have sex for money and stuff, taking their cards and taking their money and stuff. We can't be having that. We can't keep them. I don't know what to do about it. But it can't continue like this. Anyhow, that Mayorkas thing, that was a joke. It was always a joke. It was never going anywhere. It was just noise. The House passed the resolution to impeach Mayorkas. Well, Mayorkas follows orders. He doesn't give them. So he's not even who should be impeached. You should be just, you know, following orders. It doesn't cut it anymore. Remember the Nuremberg trials. But if you're going to impeach someone, impeach Biden. However, the Senate was never going to pick it up. It was going to take a two-thirds vote. And that was never going to happen in the Senate. We only have, I mean, we're down a few in the Senate. We're only up one in the House. So it barely passed. So this was just an exercise in futility, just more theater, more just to make noise. Everybody was all upset. Oh, yeah, all the Democrats, they voted against impeaching Mayorkas, so they're all guilty of treason. And you weren't going to get that many Republicans to vote for it either. So this is all going to continue. Nothing is going to change until after the election. Everybody's in 100% election mode. And this guy, Johnson, the most we can hope from him right now is to just stop everything. Don't pass anything else. Forget it. We got enough laws. We've already given away enough money. You're not going to change the situation at the border. You're not going to change anything. Congress has the power to stop funding everything that's going on. They can stop funding those NGOs. Congress has the power to remake immigration laws. The president doesn't have the right or the authority to pick and choose what laws he wants to follow. He took an oath that he would faithfully execute the laws of the country. Didn't say change them or only honor the ones that he liked. So we already have immigration laws. His job is to enforce those. And if changes need to be made, that's up to Congress. Congress is in no hurry to change anything. So we're stuck. Biden can use executive power, but he's not going to. The guy can barely put a sentence together. And his handlers are not going to let him change anything. They like the way things are. Their objective was to break everything. And actually, they're winning. They're doing a great job. They are breaking everything. They're getting a little scared now because those Hamas protesters are getting a little out of their hand. They're not happy with that their little Frankenstein monsters are coming back to get them. Did you see all that that's going on?
Which one?
Well, Columbia University. The protesters all were protesting. They want Columbia University to divest away from Israel. They, you know, they have a lot of investments.
Oh, I saw that,
yeah. Yeah. Well, they took over the campus. They set up like a chop shop at Columbia, you know, with the tents and all of that. And they're saying from the river to the sea, and they're calling the campus police Nazis, and they're, one of them was banging a pot and saying, we're all Hamas. And then a bunch of other people say, yeah, we're Hamas. So now they're pledging allegiance to a terrorist organization. And Columbia University's getting a little sick of it now, so they called out the real cops, and they took apart their campsite, and they arrested 100 of them. And now they're threatening not to
listen. I'm going to vacate for a couple minutes again. I'll be right back.
All right. So anyhow, they told them to vacate the area, and they wouldn't vacate. So they ended up arresting 100 of them. But they got right back out again. Act Blue, Soros's backed organization, is bailing them all out. They're beating the cops back to the campus. But now Columbia University is threatening them with not letting them graduate or, you know, suspending them or expelling them. Because they are a threat now. They're flipping out on the Jewish kids. They're like yelling at the Jewish people. The Jewish students at Columbia University are terrified. Because they're getting hate mail. They're getting swastikas. They can't go outside. They can't even tell people their names, you know, because a lot of them got Jewish last names. So they're terrified. And then you got the same group of people who are backing protesters. They protested Google. They went into the offices in Google, both in New York and out in California, and they took over the CEO's office in Google, and another one they wanted them to divest away from Israel. Well, they ended up getting arrested and getting fired, having their key passes canceled, and got locked out. So Google was one of the biggest DEIs and promoters, you know, and calling people this phobe or that phobe or racist or whatever. But when it turned around and bit them in the rear end, boy, they had a whole lot to say then. Those people got fired. And now these kids at Columbia University are being threatened. Their graduation and their degrees are being threatened. Because, you know, weren't they trained there? Didn't they have all these professors putting these things in their head? You know, they could talk about Intifada and they could talk about Israel and all that. But they can't tell you much more. Imagine, can you imagine paying $100,000 for an education for your kid at Columbia University? And the kid can't do math and can't read still when it gets out of college. But it's turned into quite the little radical activist. And you spent $100,000 on that? Keep your kids out of these places. You know, we give these Ivy Leagues too much power, too much, I don't know, too much love, too much respect. We shouldn't respect them. They don't deserve any respect. They don't even need tuition. These big universities, these Ivy League universities, they all have endowments that dwarfs anyone's tuition. They have billions. I mean, they got billions in endowments. And people still pay for their kids to go to college there and come out like dummies, except that they can march in the streets and tell people they don't know what gender they are and, you know, make fun of Jews and threaten Jews and all that.
But let me ask you, though, Joanne, no. you have all these people that are billionaires and saying they're not donating to these colleges anymore, but they're not changing. So where's this money going to come from?
Well, right now, it's all talk. You know, the only one that I saw so far return the degree and stop with the tithing to the college was that Pete Hegseth. He graduated Harvard and he sent them back their degree. And he canceled his subscriptions and he doesn't donate to them anymore. So they're not getting any alumni money from him. But everybody else is on mouth. You know, they'll say whatever's necessary to say in public, but they just still continue to do what they do behind the scenes.
Right, but let me ask you, though, just if everybody did put their money where their mouth is and say no more, would that stop wokeness? Yeah, I see Larry Fink is finally to the point where he's starting to get a little worried.
Yeah. Well, it's already with this Columbia thing and with the New York thing, it's starting to lose its luster. You know, when they closed off the Golden Gate Bridge and closed off the Brooklyn Bridge, and you could see it's all coordinated. It all went down on the same day. So it's not some grassroots thing. It's the same people. It started with Acorn and Occupy. It actually started with the Weather Underground. It's the same players. And they're all in the universities now, and they start these groups like Acorn, and then they have their offshoot groups. And Soros money's in on it, but he's got the upfront money. You know, he donates to all these little groups. And then they have to pay him back with interest. He's been giving away a lot of money for a lot of years to all these radical communist organizations. How does a billionaire give away trillions? He doesn't unless he's getting paid back and making money off it.
Right.
So, you know, they have to be paying him back with interest. So he's like a loan shark for commies. He's a bag man. And his kid is stupid. He's a Berkeley graduate. And he's as evil as his father, but he's not as smart as his father. So hopefully the kid will just give away too much money and then won't pay him back.
All right, yeah, let me ask you this, Joanne. We have our weekly broccoli episode that we have to do, and we have Bianchi on the line. So which would you rather do first?
All right, let's do Bianchi first, and then we'll talk to him a bit. So we'll show him a little love, and then we'll do the broccoli man, and hopefully he'll stick around for that, and then we'll talk some more.
Sounds good. Bianchi, welcome in. We couldn't talk to you yesterday. We were here. It's just that, the switchboard hasn't been cooperating a little bit lately.
Yeah, I figured something was going on. Hello, Joanne.
Hey, Bianchi,
no.
How you doing, friend?
I'm doing fine. No, but those students at Columbia or any other place got a right to protest.
They
don't
do.
Have a right to jump on people, but they have a right to protest. They protested apartheid in South Africa, and Israel was giving that government nuclear weapons. So they got a right to protest. They protest.
They do.
Black students at the University of Missouri, Columbia, protest because you had students there that was writing epitaphs in the bathroom, even hanging Confederate flags, which they had a right to do. But no, those kids got a right to protest.
They
and
do have
mayor
a right
in
to
New
protest.
York, and mayor in
but
New
they...
York, was it the mayor? Yeah, the mayor in New York, Adams, he's a damn fool, saying that if they protest, then they lose their scholarship. That's a damn fool for you, and that's what he is.
Yeah. You know, they do have a right to protest. And, you know, I'm happy they have a right to protest, as a matter of fact. But what they're doing is they are intimidating people. And, you know, like banging on the Jewish kids' doors and threatening them and, you know, just scaring the stuffing out of the Jewish kids. They weren't doing that. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad. I don't care if they camp on the lawn until winter.
Well, you know, here's another thing. You had a college someplace where you had white kids. Let's see. No, you had black kids that was protesting white kids that sat in the study room at desks close to them, saying that they was a threat based on the ill information that's put out. Not a news media. They told the white kid, you can't sit there because we're afraid of you. Nobody said nothing to them. I'm getting sick and tired of these double standards. And you had this one legislature in Tennessee who's from the Philippines, Pearson. They were shutting down the thoroughfare. And when trucks tried to go through, it was one pickup truck with an American citizen in, and he tried to get by, and Pearson picked up a barrier cone and threw it at him in his window. Nobody said nothing. It's on video.
Wow. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Protesting is okay, but you're not supposed to be intimidating people and frightening people. And,
well, it depends on who
you know,
you are.
Blocking traffic. What do you? Blocking traffic isn't going to make anybody love you. If you stood on the
if
side of
black,
the road with your signs, you might get a better reception.
If you're black and you intimidate whites, those shit happen to you. And I've gave you a couple examples where it don't. And that's the double standards. Harvard was the lady that was doing the plagiarization. Kane, I think her name was, the professor.
Oh, yeah.
She got removed from there. Then they put her in another job where she's making about $1 million a year. And she plagiarized.
Yeah.
She lied. And she was probably behind the whole scheme of giving minorities points on their college entrance exam even before they sat down and took the test. It was giving black kids 310. giving Hispanics 270. White kids got zero. And Asians got negative 170.
No,
nobody
not
says
right.
nothing.
No,
it's
not
right.
right. What was her name? Gay?
Gay, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, Gay. Yeah,
her?
And she, not only did she plagiarize, but she plagiarized Carol Swain, Dr. Swain. I mean, everybody
well,
knows
hell,
her
they
work.
Even, they even hired Laurie Lightfoot. And then Laurie Lightfoot get hired by this city, this town in Illinois, Dalton, where you have this crazy mayor, and they're paying her $400 an hour.
Yeah. And she's supposed to be investigating the mayor.
She's supposed to be investigating the operations there when that's the job of Cook County prosecutor, another black female, Kim Fox. Nothing is going
mm-hmm.
on. These double standards. You're right. You're right. Those drones that struck over there in Israel, they knew they was coming. You know how? They had headlights on them. You can see them from miles away.
Yeah, but I heard that they were working in the background, and John Kerry and everybody talking with Iran and telling them to, you know, what they could do, and, you know, like they told Putin, a small incursion. The same thing
it's
with the Iranians.
It's just messed up. Everything is messed up nowadays. It's just
oh,
messed
everything.
Up. I was arguing with this black guy in California, and he's trying to tell me that Trump had a rally encouraging and caused the people to go that was doing the non-insurrection but protest at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, well, Trump's rally was started about an hour late, and that event, that protest was going on. And I
right.
asked him, he said that Trump, wait a minute, this is gets good. He said that Trump tried to prevent with that insurrection the transfer of power. And I asked him, well, when does the transfer of power happen? He said
January
the 5th. I said,
no,
the hell, 20th. It starts January the 20th when the transfer of power happens. And the idiot didn't even know that.
January 20th at noon in the Constitution.
He didn't know that. And then he didn't want to discuss it with me no more. That's
no,
what's the problem. You got a bunch of ignorant Aramuses, a bunch of dumbasses out there that don't know nothing. And they go by what they hear on mainstream media. That's all
that's
it's about. They're just dumb.
Look at these college kids. What do they know? They only know what we allowed them to be taught. And they don't know what we didn't insist they be taught. They don't know about our founding documents. They don't know about civics anymore. They don't know what they call it social studies now. There's no civics anymore. All they know is that our founders were a bunch of white guys, and some of them had slaves. And they look at them and they see them on the dollar bills and stuff, so they think that they were a bunch of old men in white wigs. No. The median age of the revolutionary soldier was 16 years old. Those were all young people.
Now they're talking about, blacks talking about voting for Kennedy. Well, I said, how you going to vote for Kennedy? His father was against the 1957 Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
His father was against the 1957 Civil Rights Act. And I think it was either he or Johnson told Thurgood Marshall, you are not going to become a Supreme Court justice. So they're going to vote for him? But they
right.
want to take down Jefferson's statue? They want to take
yeah,
down Robert E. Lee's
if
statue?
If you're hearing that the blacks are going to vote for Kennedy, I think that might be something you get on fake news.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the blacks are coming out strong for Trump. Did you see those beautiful people in Harlem, Bianchi?
Yes.
The black people, the
I
brown
heard about
people.
Them.
Oh, you got to see the video clips. They were saying, we love Trump. They were yelling 4 more years. They sang the national anthem. There was
Wait a minute. You just made me remember. Guess who's got a national anthem now?
Oh.
LBGQ. They've got their own national anthem, and they call it From Blood to Water, Water to Blood, something like that.
Oh, that
it'll
sounds
be coming
like
out
a lot
of here pretty
Christianity.
Yeah, the Perrys are going to have a national anthem now, too.
We have one national anthem. It's for all Americans. We don't have separate.
Yeah, you're right. But,
like that black national anthem, it's a very nice song, but it's not a national anthem.
Nobody asked me about it.
Because it doesn't include the whole nation.
Nobody asked me about it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you get to Mr. Broccoli Man. Everything today is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you get to the next corner and turn it. You're going to see something else. It's just messed up. And a lot of it had to do because Americans are ignorant, teetering on the verge of stupidity. Bring on Mr. Broccoli.
Okay, I need the link, Proof.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting to go to it so soon, so give me a second here.
Oh, that's all right. But yeah, don't leave, Bianchi. Stick around.
Right.
It's getting
This one challenged me on bandwidth. I just barely was able to get this in, or else I would have had to do a part one and part two.
Oh.
I used a lot in this.
All right, here comes your link now. It finally came up. All right. So, getting rid of the commercial.
Yeah.
Let's play the second one. That's what the bandwidth is, to put two commercials. All right, I'm ready when you are.
All right, yeah, the bandwidth is because I had a bunch of people, I had graphics, and there were some sounds, so I maximized what I could do. I had to cut some out, actually. All right, so let me count this down. April 2024 debate. Everybody's in it. Well, maybe not everybody, but you'll see. Anyway, 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another great debate sponsored by Liza McIfar Mafia Dickles. We have our panel here to tell you how to think correctly and also how to think completely wrong. Just like this loser who we will try to not have talked to you because everything he says is racist, homophobic, and genderist. Mr. Broccoli Man. You fools should not be applauding him at all. Please, everyone, please out his gendered heathen.
Martha, you promised that if Raziak said anything, you are going to use a fire hose on him, and then desert him with 120,000 volts of electricity immediately so he can be electrocuted. We simply cannot have that nincompoop telling people to vote for Trump. We need to sell our gene therapies, our freedom microchips, and our lies nickel suicide pods.
In the middle, we have some college students from Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology. These are some of the finest students at SHIT.
You have to stop mocking us. SHIT is a great school. You all sound like a bunch of wise lechers.
Hey, you told us there would be no white peoples in here. I hate all white people, this is way too racist.
And on the end, we have two absolute correct point of view. He's a random person we found off the street. We also found a regular superhero that happens to be in the area. Please welcome in T-Lobulist and his superhero, the Wiretap.
I am going to kill you all with my live nicotine therapies we are making in a Wuhan laboratory.
The joke is on all you something luckers out there booing us. You numbskulls and fuss budgets are still paying for the Wuhan laboratory even as we speak. Dr. Fraud, I is still making sure our project to kill all you bizzies is at maximum operation.
Okay, first question. What is the biggest threat to America right now? Broccoli Man, you have 0.8 seconds.
Well, actually I...
That's enough, Broccoli Man. How about you millennials?
I hate white peoples. Them spies is too racist.
Yeah, I want to punch a white dude in his bullsacks. That's right. I also agree. White people threaten our democracy. They want to hate on us black transgender people that support communism and they refuse to get gene therapies. As black people are very obedient and support the Democrat Party.
Mike, you know we can all see you, right? You are as white as Donald Trump.
Hey, at least we get our stipends for being trans and being black. I make $20,000 a month for being trans and $5 million a year for being black. That's if gender at white dude ain't getting ish. Hey, something occur. You need to shut up that face and you need to put a scam on that face. See, that's what I mean. They are too racist and genderist. If it wasn't for white people like that broccoli dude, we would not have climate change.
Mike, the studio audience wants to know. Why are you not getting your black people stipend? Was there something wrong with your paperwork? Did that ever get fixed?
Martha, our biggest problem is that people have stopped taking our gene therapies. They are not dying fast enough. We need to rid the Earth of the 99% so we can rule over the remaining pile of rubble and roll out our plans to live forever for only the 1% of the 1% like me.
Don't you mean like us, sir?
No, I clearly state the 1% of the 1% just like me. You are simply my employee and help put my political enemies behind bars.
Next question. Can a woman get a man pregnant? Broccoli Man, you have one word.
No.
Okay, that's enough of your fake news. Millennials, what about you?
My birthing partner Malik is trying to get me pregnant. When they was in the women's prison, they got 2 persons pregnant. But for some reason they cannot get me pregnant. I'm trying as hard as I can to get pregnant so that I can have an abortion after the baby is born. That is so loving and liberal.
We do put AstraZeneca in the water. It helps sterilize people so we can stop population. We are adding GMOs to the food so it also helps stop breeding. The chemicals also are turning people gay just like the frogs.
Excellent, G-Lobalist. Thank you for your hard work running Wyzenicki Pharmacia Dickles and sponsoring the great debate. Now how many genders are there? Broccoli Man, you have one word.
2.
Okay, that's a gout of you. We are tired of your white supremacy and lies. Millennials?
I think there are over 100,000 genders. When I filled out my trans type and paperwork, there were at least 1,000 that day. But every day new genders are being found. It is possible that every single animal, human, reptile, and marsupial can each have a gender.
I do not know that answer. But I do know I would like to diddle any and every single thing on F.
That is gross.
You know what is gross, sir? Your face. Why does it not have a bloody scam on that face?
Martha, you need to shut Mr. Broccoli up right this instant. Do I have to shoot him with my gun myself?
Okay, Broccoli Man. You are no longer permitted to speak. You have shared too much truth today.
Thank you, Martha. I have to protect our life maker assets. We do not need that yet making people think about not buying our products.
So last question. What do you think of us having World War III? Millennials?
I just want to kill Republicans.
Yeah, we want to make sure we support Ukraine and Hamas. We want to free Palestine. If you ain't for communism, then we want to blast all you by snitches. We are waiting for Brandon to send us to Iran all over the Middle East to do drag queen story time for the Islam people. We want to give them our freedom. Republicans just refuse to let us promote the transition in Iran.
We want to have World War III, Martha. We want to kill off 99% immediately. Furthermore, our global financial system is about to crash. All monies will be useless as we know it. We want to roll our cashless society and everyone on the planet will utilize Microfreedom microchip in order to conduct business. We will limit what everyone can purchase. All monies will have expiry dates so no one else will ever be able to build up wealth. All you dolts and something dark airs will eat Z-bugs and owns nothing.
I will never get a microchip. There is no such thing as a freedom microchip.
Martha, you need to shut this broadcast down. I need to shoot Mr. Broccoli in the head with my gun. We do not want to broadcast this on the smell-o-vision so I can say I did not do it.
Come try it. My uniform bounces off all bullets and nuclear explosions.
Martha, can we please have security come disrobe this green dude live on TV? I do want to get a photograph of this guy's kumquats and his ice cream cone. I also want to take the Q-tip from the American Gladiators show and shove that up so far up his bundle so I can check him for COVIDs. Afterwards we can get this fuss budget to cover its gene therapy in front of the entire planet.
Can we go now? I need to go to China Mart and steal a bunch of stuffs on the way home. I need my four-finger discount.
Yeah, if Governor Grusin says we can steal the ish, I am gonna steal the ish.
Okay, everyone, that is all for tonight. Thank you for salming and do not forget to buy your lies and like a suicide pods.
Okay, Mr. Broccoli, come out here and let me put some lead right up your bunghole.
That was good. Jamal skipped the debate, huh?
Well, I could only put three of them up there, so I usually interchange them.
Yeah. I like how G. Lobolis said I, not we, and
you caught that.
Wiretap called him out on it. Yeah, that was good. You brought up that Wuhan lab, too. I saw a story that somebody had written to Fauci and said, what are we going to do? We got 70,000 more viruses at this lab. What do we do with them? So they're definitely making bioweapons there. And hating white people. All the white people are racist, and white people cause climate change, and white people this, and white people that. Yeah, who's the racist in that crowd? And I like how Wiretap says he wanted to diddle everybody.
That's the truth. That's what he is.
Yeah. And the fertility in the water and the food.
That's what their gay national anthem is based on, climate change, so they say.
There's a climate change national anthem? Why not?
Sure. Everybody have their own anthem, and then we have nothing that binds us together, right? That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, before the damn game started, it'd be about 2 hours of singing this, that, and the other.
Right.
The
and it won't even be Zac Brown Band or anything.
Really. You talked about Mike Johnson being a Christian. Well, Mike Pence was supposed to have been a Christian, too.
Mm-hmm.
Clean cut, innocent looking.
Yeah. We're supposed to be watching out for those false prophets, too. You know, they come at you with dumping a Bible. In the meantime, they're stabbing a knife in your back and your country's back. Yeah, I don't trust them. You know, real Christians won't stab you in the back like that. Real Christians don't want anything to do with abortion. They're not going to judge you, but you can't make them pay for it. You can't, take it out of there. If they're paying you taxes and then using tax money to fund abortions, well, they can't give you tax money then. The Christians can't, because they can't have anything to do with that.
Well,
but here's our government forcing
that,
them to pay for it.
Joanne, they say that black women have about 39% of the abortions in this country. Then
that's
you got
so
people
sad.
People who erroneously may quote say, well, blacks is 13% of the population. Well, that's a damn lie. The percentage of the population that can have babies is not no 13%. It's probably down to 4 or 5%. That's a stat.
Right.
Kids can't have babies unless there's something going on I don't know anything about.
Right.
So you got about 5% of
our
the
elderly.
Black population, females. That's happened. 39% of the total abortions in the country. That's totally,
totally
ridiculous.
Well, that's intentional. Even, Margaret Sanger started the Negro Project, and she got a lot of the black reverends and stuff to help her out with that, because it was good for the family and, you know, it was going to keep the families out of poverty, being able to get rid of the babies. That's baloney. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're going to be in poverty, you're going to be in poverty if you got one kid or 21 kids. But it's no coincidence that these abortion clinics are mostly in the minority neighborhoods. Even Justice Ginsburg, they asked her about, you know, how she would have voted for Roe versus Wade, and she said, and what her thoughts were about. And she said, well, she would have voted yes on it. And they said, well, you know, oh, do you even know what the case was about? And she said, well, yeah, it's to get rid of people we don't want too many of.
Absolutely.
She actually came out and admitted it.
That's exactly what she said. And the Negro Project was spurred on by Clarence Gamble of Procter & Gamble, and Springer joined in on it.
Yeah, well, Margaret Sanger was no good, and she was another KKK. And the KKK, they just loved her. And when Ginsburg said it was to get rid of people we don't want too many of, she didn't say just blacks. She was and poor white people and poor people of any race, undesirable.
Well, look at Lincoln. Lincoln blockaded the dispense of quinine, whereas Southern soldiers, the Confederate, couldn't get it to save their lives.
Wow.
People, the story is never completely told.
No.
The story is never completely. White males was given malaria, those that had syphilis. They were given malaria. Let the mosquito bite them, because they was experimented with thermal treatment, because malaria caused you to have an elevated fever. And they wanted to see if that elevated fever would kill the parasite that was coming from the bite of the mosquito. So they intentionally infected them with malaria. Those are white males.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
Nobody talks about that.
You know, there's a shortage of quinine right now. There's a shortage of antibiotics, amoxicillin, zithromycin, Macrobid, Cipro. They're intentionally getting rid of them, so they might be trying to pull that again. So y'all better know how to make your own. Just remember,
it's just like
Cinchona.
A football game. If you're able to gain
your
quinine by doing an in-the-round play, well, you're going to continue to do it until you stop.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you all get ivermectin, too. Like you said about the parasites, they're working with parasites now. And ivermectin is a parasitic, antiparasitic, but it's also an antiviral. So,
you had some doctor back then that was driving nails into the heads of white males to see what kind of effect that would do. I guess he was trying to create a Frankenstein or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't talk about that. They're always the other way around.
My friend's uncle was a subject of one of those experiments that they were doing on people. He was in a nut house in insane asylum, and they were doing experiments on him. And they said, no, and all that. Well, he finally sued them, and he won the case because he got all kinds of help from some legal organization, and he got discovery and all. And the government finally had to admit that they were experimenting on him and others. So, you know, when everybody thought that was a conspiracy theory, that was true. It was always true. And now, last night, there was a documentary on one of the stations I was flipping through, and it was about the Tuskegee experiments and about other government experiments that they were doing on unsuspecting people and the military. And you're right, they were giving them syphilis, and they were giving them viruses. They were giving them smallpox.
Well, they didn't give those black men no syphilis. They failed to treat them. That's what the problem was. And it was told that they had bad blood. And the nurse was a black female. And they never gave black males no syphilis. That's another misnomer. They just failed to treat them with penicillin.
Mm. And penicillin
and
is
syphilis,
easy to make, too.
Yeah, syphilis is one of those diseases that don't never go away. It can come back at any point in time in the future and within you.
Wow.
People say it came from having sex with sheep. You know how you tell the difference between a sheep and a goat?
No.
A sheep holds its tail down. A goat doesn't. That's true. A sheep will hold its tail down and tuck it, whereas a goat doesn't.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to tell. Now I'll know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't expect you to count too many sheep down here in Florida, but although there are goats, a friend of mine has goats. They're cute little things, too. But yeah, these diseases, they're giving it to them on purpose. Like you said, they're not treating them on purpose. But we got more stuff coming across, and now they're warning us about tuberculosis and Zika and dengue fever. Some other stuff, yellow fever, they got all coming across that border, measles, mumps.
What about that brain-eating bacteria?
Yeah, amoebas. That's another thing ivermectin would work on, those brain-eating amoebas. Ivermectin is a Nobel Prize-winning discovery. And, yeah, it is a horse paste. And, you know, one treatment should get rid of any worms or parasites in your horse. But if you get the kind that's a paste, you take a little bit, you put it on your finger and you put it on the back of your tongue for a couple of days, and then you take a break. But they're even saying that a lot of cancers, they're finding out, is starting with parasites, too.
Yeah, it does. Parasites have been around forever, and they're smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should say they're intelligent. They have to be intelligent to have survived forever down there.
Yeah. Well, they've adapted well. And there's all different kinds, too. There's parasites in your body all day, every day.
Yeah, all day, every day. And if there's a medicine that's coming to attack them, they will run and hide in your body.
Yeah. A friend of mine got a parasite. She cut herself on a meat slicer, and the meat slicer had been used to cut raw meat. She ended up with a parasite. She got really sick. It took them a long time to figure out what was going wrong with her. And
well,
she was losing weight.
Joanne, that's the same way with people who travel to malaria-infested countries, and they may get malaria that lasts for about a night. They have a high fever, but the parasite's still in them. And they come back to the United States. 6 months later, they get sick. They go to the hospital. The doctors don't know what the hell to look for unless you tell them that you was in a malaria-infested country. If you don't, the doctors don't know what to look for. being that malaria is not prevalent here in the United States, but it will come back. I mean, it doesn't go no place. A lot of these bacteria and viruses just burrow down into the soil like the acacia. And every now and then they pop back up.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous they're going to start hitting us with Ebola over here. I'm surprised they haven't already.
Well, that's a possibility. Anything's possible with these people.
Well, you got a lot of people coming out of the Congo. The Congo is notorious for Ebola.
You need to take Adam Schiff and Chuck Schumer and O'Connor, put them in a room and take a bucket of all this stuff and throw it in there with them. Lock the door.
Mm-hmm. Try to lock them in one of those shelters down at the border. No, they're locking people in them. Other people. Yeah, those places you set up and all those places along the Darien Gap. You know, and they wanted to bring all these people here. But look what they made those people go through to get here. You know, it's not pretty what they do to them. They cluster them, they rob them, they beat them, they rape them, they...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not good to these people.
Any American male that has sex with a woman coming from another part of the world, you taking your life in your hands. Because your body is not conducive to the bacteria that they're carrying, even from the sweat of their skin.
Well, let another thing we got to worry about, too, there, is 92% of them are young males. Where does that leave the women and girls in this country? You know, that they tell people, oh, we're looking to get jobs, we want wives. So where are they going to get all these wives and girlfriends? They didn't bring them with them.
I don't know.
So remember what happened in London and France. You know, they let all those people come across the border. All of a sudden, women are getting murdered and raped and beaten in the streets. And girls are getting kidnapped. And, yeah, pretty soon it's not going to be safe for women and girls. It's not safe now, but it's going to get worse.
Yes, but that's level.
You know,
and
then the men we're depending on now are all wearing friggin' skinny jeans and man buns. You know, we need the guys that wear construction boots and Carhartt. But they've turned our men into women. They've feminized them. So who's going to protect the women? You know, I don't care what the loving liberals say. Men and women are different.
I don't know. You see Serena? You seen Serena Williams lately? She's got huge. Not big. Huge. From the face on down to her legs. Her calf.
Is she on steroids? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't
know. Well, off the steroids, you know, because it builds muscle. But then when you get off the steroids, if you're going to take a match, if you're going to be in a match and you're going to get tested for steroids, and you're not, it's not muscle anymore. It turns to fat.
I don't know what she's on or off, but I tell you what, just pull up a picture on her.
Yeah, I saw one the other day, and I thought that she had gotten a little chunky, but I wasn't going to say anything, but...
That's beyond chunky.
Yeah, well, you blow up like a tick when you get off those steroids. So, I don't know, I'm not saying that she was on them, but something happened. She did, she gained some weight, and she would not do a match against the trans guy.
Well,
she
forfeited I don't blame
a match
her there.
The other day. I don't blame her either. Don't fall, you know, don't get involved in that. Don't fall for that. Just say no. If all the girls said no, we're not going to compete against the trans, then that would be the end of it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, because, you know, there would go your league, your money, if all these girls said, nope, we're not going to do it. And what are these big organizations, these big money-making organizations going to do if they have no players? You know, big companies are making money off these athletes. And if you have no athletes, you don't make any money, right? The athletes don't realize they have the power. They can say no. You know, it's not fair. That guy that won that race recently, he won by like 3 seconds, too. It was a big difference between him and the other girls. But with his time, he would have finished 65th in the men's match that was held that day with his time. But he just blew all the girls away. So he was a mediocre runner in the men's team. So now he's just going to feel good about himself that he could beat a bunch of girls.
Yeah,
he would have been 65th in the men's competition.
That's what being loving and liberal will do.
Yeah, well, you know, if women are going to be canceled, then why even bother having women's leagues? Just call it a trans league and walk away.
What gets me, though, are the people that say that if women want their own league, they should have made it.
Well, see, they did, and they were imposed upon. And if you're a fully intact male, you got no business in the locker room with all the young girls. You know, if you're going to be a
trans. Well, that's what that 11-year-old said at the school board meeting. Exactly what you said about trans in the shower with his sister.
Right.
And the school board president at the meeting turned to Mike House and adjourned the meeting.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to be a trans. Do it. Don't have to do it. You don't stand there with male genitalia and tell people you're female. Go get some female genitalia and come back, and then you can tell them you're female. But if you're not willing to go the whole route.
How many of these trans people just go up to the women and say, look at me, I'm a woman and I have a penis?
Right.
Like they're proud of it or something. Who does that? If you were so much not the other sex, you would be ashamed that you had a different body part.
Yeah, I wouldn't be showing it. But, you know, I think these people just need a lot of attention. And they don't get it anywhere else. And they're getting a lot of pressure put on them to declare a gender. You know, when the kid's in the first grade and it's 6 years old and they say, are you straight, are you gay, are you bi? Kids don't know what they are, so they say, okay, well, I'm non-binary. And that gets everybody off their back. But you shouldn't be pressuring the kids to tell you any of that anyhow. It's none of your business. You're a teacher. You're going to be with the kid 10 months of its whole life. Mm-hmm. You don't know the kid. You don't make decisions for the kid. And you have no authority over that kid. You're there to teach it academics. If you can't teach the kid academics, you got no business being a teacher. If you want to talk to little kids about sex, I think you're a weirdo. And you won't be talking to my little kids about sex. That's my job. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, another story from out west. A restaurateur was complaining about the cost that he's experiencing, and he's talking about closing down, if he hasn't already. He say he makes hamburgers for $2.50 a piece, and he's got to pay his workers $20 an hour minimum wage. And he was asked, how long does it take to make a hamburger? He said, 15 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Well, that's a quarter of an hour.
Right.
That's $5 in wages.
That's twice
as much as he can sell the hamburger.
Yeah, that's before you even get a hamburger bun. It already cost you $5. And then you got to buy the bun, and you got to buy the burger and the cheese and the lettuce and the tomato and whatever sauce you put on it, the pickles and onions, and cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. So pretty soon you're talking about a $20 burger. Plus the time and the equipment to cook it. So, you know, that's electricity and water because you have to use your utensils. Yeah, overhead is expensive. And then they'll say, we want $20 an hour, and they'll say, okay, yeah. And then they'll get a machine that'll flip the burger. They have machines for that. It'll put the burger on the grill, it'll flip the burgers, and then it'll take the burgers off. Just like a donut machine. You know, a donut machine will put batter into the fryer later, drop it in, and then little bars will come out and drop it into the fryer later so it cooks the other side. And then a little bar will come out and drop it into a bin. So that would have taken 3 employees. Now you only need 1 to collect the donuts at the end of the project or to collect the burgers at the end of the project. Wrap them and put them out. So you're going to have 1 person doing all that. And you're going to have machines. You know, they have... In California, they just opened up a completely employee-less McDonald's. Do you know that?
Right.
There's no employees.
That.
Yep, the customer orders it at a kiosk. The machine makes it, and it's delivered to a chute, like you remember with the bank. You pull up to the drive-thru window, and the little thing comes out, and your order's right there, all packed for you. And there isn't 1 employee in the place. That's where we're going.
Yeah, I would normally think that the place would have 1 or 2 employees just in case something happens. Because if a Karen says, let me speak to the manager, what are you going to do, have a bigger robot come out?
They probably got 1 general manager who can talk to you by Zoom.
I like the idea of having a robot, like a 10-foot-tall robot. Pop type come out.
That'd be nice.
Someone like Lurch, you rang.
Yeah, Nunzio. Nunzio comes out of the back room with a 2-wheeler. You know, somebody's going in the dumpster. Wow.
So, you know, we never talked about that, about OJ passing, because that was last Thursday or Friday.
You know, I listened to that whole trial. I was mesmerized by it. And I've always thought that it was his oldest son, Jason, that did the murders. The kid was home. He's 18 years old. He's 6'8" and like almost 300 pounds. Kid had a bad attitude. He was a short fuse. Father and son didn't speak after that. But I think that O.J. would have taken the rap, but he ended up getting acquitted because he really didn't do it. His kid did. The kid was home, remember? And it would be nothing for the kid to, you know, because O.J. was a big guy too. It would be nothing for the kid to step into O.J.'s shoes by the door and go out and do that. And, of course, the glove did fit. O.J. put a latex glove on his hand first because he said he didn't want to touch the inside of the glove on his hand. So they gave him a latex glove, which took up some space. And, he, you know, they showed him trying to put it on. He's got his fingers extended, and he's got them all spread out. So if it doesn't fit, you must have quit. And, you know, he got home, and his gate key said that, you know, it was just right around the time of the murder. So he must have just missed it. But there was blood on his shoes, but they never found any other bloody clothing. And there should have been a lot of blood all over whoever's clothes. So I think that O.J. helped the kid clean up and dispose of the clothing. The only thing they didn't get rid of was those shoes, which they should have. You know, if I don't care if you're just being a peeping Tom, you always get rid of the shoes because the shoes will leave an imprint.
Yeah.
But I think the kid did it. Now, I could be wrong. O.J. very well may have done it, you know. He had a hothead, too.
I never put thought into the kid.
Yeah, well, you know, the kid was 18 years old and a big, big boy, too. And another one with a short fuse. But the old man, you know, O.J. had a short fuse, too. I saw that girl's face when he beat her up. So, he, you know, he wasn't beyond swinging on her. You know, he wasn't a nice guy. He did beat her. But,
Joanne, it just struck me odd how on his deathbed, anybody that comes to visit him, they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. You didn't know about that?
No, I didn't know about that, but he must have looked really
rough.
Yeah,
for the last 6 weeks of his life, anybody that came to visit him, they had to sign a non-disclosure agreement explaining they'll never talk about
it. I could see why that would happen, though. I mean, this world is crazy. And then down the road, you know, somebody's going to come up with some pictures they took of him on his deathbed or, you know, some conversation they had. They'll say, yeah, he did a deathbed confession, and someone will write a book about it, and he never did a deathbed confession. He himself did write a book, though, If I Did It was the name of it. So I don't know if he was mocking them up, but, you know, but he was too sure of himself being found innocent. You know, he could be guilty as hell, who knows, but he got off on it. And one of the jurors said that she only said that he was not guilty because of the whole situation going on with the Rodney King riots and all that. So she thought it was a payback.
Oh, yeah, you have a lot of people on the black side now that were proud of the fact that he was found not guilty because he's black and the people that are dead are white.
Yeah, that's so the wrong way for them to look at that. You know,
it's okay for a black person to kill a white person now? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's not the right thing to do, to kill anybody, period. But you know, we shouldn't celebrate that, especially the racial stuff. The two victims were white, and the perpetrator, whether it was O.J. or his kid, they're black. And that's where that whole thing ends, because it was a murder, and it was a depraved, vicious, vicious murder. And it was very violent, you know, which shows passion. And you know, the kid would do that for his father if he saw the father's wife with another man. You know, kids are stupid.
So you think that it's possible that Oge could have paid his son to do that? And he was just there to help clean up and get out and shake the spot?
No, I think O.J. was in a spot. Here's this kid who he loves dearly, who just did a very, very bad thing. And he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life. He's 18 years old. And here's his wife, his ex-wife, who he still absolutely loved. And now she's dead, you know, whether they were together or not. He still loved her. And now she's dead. So I think that explains the trip in the Bronco and trying to clear his head. And he didn't want to live anymore, you know. He can't roll on the kid. And he doesn't want to live without his wife. And he was getting blamed for it. You know, that's a tough situation to be in right there. If it was the
kid. So you think you are under the camp of if he did it, he probably would have said so already?
I think he would have confessed. Because
what would happen at that point? I mean, he's not going to jail again if he says
no,
on his deathbed, I did it.
No, double jeopardy. Yeah, if he got found not guilty. So, you know, they can't try him again for it. They could try him for other things.
If he is in hospice like he was for the last couple weeks of his life and he said, I did it, most of America would be like, oh, I already knew it. Nobody's life is going to change.
Right.
So,
and he was in hospice. It's not like he died suddenly and didn't know he was dying. He knew he was dying.
Right.
and people that tie in usually want to close off loose ends. But, you know, he never confessed to it. I don't know. You know, maybe he did it, but I'm of the mind that the kid did it because he was so sure that he was going to get acquitted. You know, he was acting like he didn't do it. You know, a lot of people act weird when they did do it and they're trying to cover it up. But he just went about his business because, he'd never thought he was guilty. So he sure as hell didn't act guilty.
He just didn't reveal his source then is what you're saying.
Yeah. Then he was a hell of a good actor because he didn't act guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a tell. You know, something, they changed up something. But anyhow, there's always a tell.
Well, but what happens if somebody breaks the non-disclosure agreement and he's dead?
His estate can sue the person that broke the agreement.
Okay.
Because that agreement becomes part of his estate. That's a contract. And I'm sure he was O.J. Simpson.
But if the estate decides, you know what, I don't want to deal with this, then the estate could, in essence, give up the ghost.
Yeah. Or he may have written a confession and the estate is in possession of it. And they're going to market it someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there could be lawyers involved with that. That they would need a non-disclosure because they're not going to come out and say anything. But if there was no non-disclosure and he's dead, the lawyer could say anything. But with the non-disclosure, I think that would transcend his death and still be inactive, non-disclosure.
People sign
non-disclosures all the time.
If somebody that did not sign a non-disclosure agreement, then they could come out and say something, but then everybody would be like, well, what do you know? You didn't sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Right. Yeah, those in the know do have one.
Because it is entirely conceivable that maybe the estate and OJ forgot somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the best friend that was driving the Bronco.
As one example, although I think he's covered, but it could, yeah, exactly. There's always somebody that the people that are so worried about a leak, everybody forgets somebody. That's just how it is. Even when, if we have 30 hosts and I have to change the password, there's always one or two people that I forget to give the password to.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, you can't remember everybody in your orbit, but I don't know. It'll eventually come out. If he confessed, it'll come out. And you're right about non-disclosure, too. You know, eventually someone's going to violate it. Or the estate is going to release information. Somebody's going to make some money on a book.
We don't know how long that non-disclosure agreement is good for, though.
That's true, too. Some of them do expire. Some of them don't. I don't know. I don't know what kind of non-disclosures they signed, but that would be something I would be interested in looking into. I don't know about the non-disclosures, but it makes sense.
Well, speaking of non-disclosures, there's another famous case happening in New York City right now.
There's a couple of them.
What a dumb case.
It is a dumb case. And nothing was illegal about it. And, you know, the lawyer, Cohen, wants to see his former client go to jail for information that the lawyer told him to do. and he never did it. Trump never paid him back for that. And he did write it down as a legal fee trying to get it through. And it was Cohen who was having the affair with Stormy Daniels. And Stormy Daniels had signed an affidavit in the presence of attorneys under oath that she never had an affair with Donald Trump.
So, but then again, if she says she does, if she never had business with Trump, isn't that between Trump and Stormy Daniels?
Mm-hmm.
So why is New York State involved?
Because they said he used campaign money to pay hush money to Cohen to give to Stormy Daniels. And Cohen tried to talk him into paying it. And he said, no, I never had anything to do with that girl. And Cohen said, well, you know, this happens all the time to famous people, and even though they didn't have an affair, they pay it anyhow because it just gets it out of the way.
No, I get all that, Joanne, but what I'm trying to understand here is Michael Cohen going to contradict himself and say that Trump paid it? Because he already said he didn't pay it.
Right.
So
was he lying then or is he lying now?
Lying? Right.
The guy's a serial liar. And what if it comes out that it was him having the affair with Daniels? It sounds to me like that him and Daniels were trying to shake down Trump. They were having a little happy-go-lucky affair.
But I guess one of my concerns here is based on these liberal judges, Joanne. What if Michael Cohen admits that he was the one that had the Stormy Daniels affair? Trump didn't pay for it, and they still find Trump guilty because it's Trump.
Yeah, well, I fully expect that to happen. And especially since the judge's daughter's making money off it. So, you know, if your kid is making money off of what you're doing, you're going to help the kid, right? The judge shouldn't be on this case, Judge Marchand.
Well, but the jurors shouldn't be on the case either when they're... when you got some of them 6 months ago on a TikTok bragging about how much they hate Trump, and they're going to be biased. I mean, they're going to be non-biased, I should say.
One guy was a cartoonist. He excused himself because he found out that the Trump team was going over their social media and stuff, and he was afraid that they were going to come up with some stuff that he had posted. He's a political artist for the New York Times.
Oh, that's not
biased.
Well,
yeah, they're going to find that out. Yeah, they're not just going to let anybody walk in there. I don't know if I'd want to sit on that jury if I were a New Yorker. Because both sides are going to go over your background with a fine-tooth comb. Now, you know Trump's team, and especially people like Laura Loomer. She gets a name or even a career. She'll look up every, you know, if one of them's a lawyer, she'll look up every lawyer in New York and see who's not at work that's down at the courthouse. But once she finds out her name, or any one of us find out her name, we're going to search and find everything there is to find out about that person. And I don't think I would want Trump's people or the feds going through my posts, going through any of that, just so I could serve on a jury.
Is that why two of them dropped already? Because they thought it would be a good idea to bash, and then they found out that, oh, by the way, they're searching you. Oh, never mind, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you got the people who will trip over themselves to get on that jury. Whether they like Trump or whether they hate Trump, you know, they're seeing money signs, dollar signs. Because how many interviews are you going to do after this is over, and how many books can you write, and, you know, how many stories you got for your kids to tell them I was there, I was on that jury. Hmm.
Yeah, and all those activists that tried to get on, and they all came in wearing their scams. And Jesse Waters called them out and saying that if you're wearing a scam and it's 2024, we know what political party you're voting for.
Yeah. Well, that's easy. You can pick them out of a crowd. That's for sure.
I just don't understand how they can't move that trial.
I don't know. Hey, we got breaking news. 3 large explosions in Iran, central Iran.
Oh, I see it.
Wow. Sidney Powell was vindicated, too. The appellate court found her not guilty. Oh, boy, what the hell is going on in Iran? Are we at World War III here?
That's what it sounds like. I honestly think that Brandon doesn't mind getting into World War III because he wants to be that wartime president, so he can either postpone an election or he thinks he can get political victories off this.
Commercial flights are not flying over Iran. It says, Israel has launched an attack against Iran, has hit a site with missiles, according to the U.S. official who spoke with ABC News. Commercial flights appear to be avoid flying over Iran, as noted by CentDefender. And the explosions were reported in the city of Afasan and Nata. Oh, God. This is not cool. This is not good. They targeted a nuclear facility sitting in Ifsan. Iran air defense are actively countering the attacks on their facilities, prompting a halt in commercial flights over Iran. Additionally, Israel is conducting airstrikes on sites in Syria and Iraq. Iran has declared its intent to retaliate and use an unprecedented weaponry. Oh, boy. China and Putin are supporting Iraq. Oh, boy. Israel's losing their mind.
No, I don't really support Israel's actions right now.
No, this is not good. I know it's retaliatory, but Israel's been eyeing Iran's nuclear facilities for a long time. Remember when Netanyahu came over here with his whiteboard with the bomb drawn on it and everybody was pissed at him? And he was trying to tell Obama how close to having nuclear weapons Iran was. And then Obama gave him all kinds of money, pallets of cash. I don't know what Israel's going to do, but they have a little tiny spot in the middle of the Middle East, and I don't know what that's going to do to the Abraham Accord either. But Iran says as soon as they get nuclear weapons, they're going to kill us. They're going to go right after the great Satan and the little Satan, which is us in Israel. They tell us that. And the people in Gaza, too. They said, okay, if we have a ceasefire and we let the aid in and stuff, you know, what are we going to do from there? And they said, well, we're just going to build more rockets and we're going to take out Israel. Wow. They should say, well, you know, we're going to work on peace. We're going to give back the hostages. I think all those hostages are dead. They're not in a hurry to give them back. And they're suffering severe damage in Gaza. They're suffering really, really bad in Gaza. You'd think they'd be throwing the hostages back over the wall. Yeah, take them. but they're not. So that tells us that the hostages are not coming back. That's scary, too. The world's a mess. I don't know how to figure this one out. All I know is we need Trump back because he's going to tell them all to knock it off.
Well, I don't think they want us to get to November.
No. No, they want to have World War III in full swing before Trump has a chance to stop it.
Right.
The people of America, we got to stop being so apathetic. You know, we think we got people for that. We think that, you know, somebody's going to come and save us. And people are praying for divine intervention, you know. Eventually, David had to pick up the rock. You know, I mean, God didn't take down Goliath. David did, with God's help. So I think that, you know, we should be expecting more from ourselves. And people really don't have the time. You know, you got to work two jobs now to support a family. The mother and father can't even be home to raise the children. They barely go out. They tell you don't talk politics in the bars and in the churches. That's actually where our founders were talking politics. In the pubs and the churches. That's how they were talking among themselves and getting the word spread with gatherings. The only place they gather now is in schools and university. And the leftists have the lock on those places. That's where they have a captive audience. And they can talk all they want to those kids. But talking outside of those places, they frown on that. When you try to talk on social media, you get censored, or you get banned, or you get canceled, or you get toggled to the bottom end of the feed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really talking much there. You can talk a little bit, but, you know, even finding things out now is hard because they manipulate the information. So we have to talk among ourselves. We have to start gathering and meeting up. But the kids don't even talk to each other outside of school. They're on those phones. I've seen people sitting together on a couch texting each other.
Yeah, that I don't understand.
No. Or they'll be in the other room and text each other. Kids don't have any social skills. You should see them when they go up to order food and stuff. They're very meek and mild and don't make eye contact and very indecisive. You know, what are you going to have? Well, do you want this or this? Yeah, they don't know how to interact anymore.
I forgot. You wait on these people, don't you?
I do. I see people all day, every day. Young people, old people.
So do you end up having to decide what some of these people get?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have to offer them everything and then tell them what will match and help them put it together. And, you know, it wouldn't be like their first time there, fourth, fifth, sixth time. They know everything we have. But you still got to help them. And it's bad on the phone, too. Taking a phone order is really rough in some cases. Mm. Some people know exactly what they want. Bing, 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 this is what I want. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Other people, it's like pulling teeth. You got to drag it out of them. And they're regulars. And when they talk to you, the voices are always muffled because they're talking to you on a Bluetooth through a car. And they got the window open so you can hear the wind in the background. Very difficult to hear. So, yeah, we have to get these kids communicating again. We have to get the adults communicating again. It's okay to talk politics in church. It's okay to talk politics in the bar. Where the hell else are you going to talk? And look what they're doing to the kids. They almost lost control over them with that home learning. That's why they let them go back to school. If you see these young people now, a lot of them are wising up. Back to the Harlem thing. There was a little girl there. She looked about 12, 13 years old. And she was saying, "I love you, Trump." And there was a little boy about 10 in front of her. And he said, "I love you, Trump." He was copying everything she said. But, the young people are smarter. And you see in a couple of these podcasts and stuff, they'll go out in the street and they'll talk to the kids. Or they'll go to the spring breaks and talk to the kids. Or they'll just walk down the street. And, you know, in New York or Philly and whatever. And they'll be talking to people 18, 17, 19, you know, around that age group. And who are you voting for? And they'll all say Trump. So there is an awakening out there, but I don't know how big it is. And it's got to be big. And we got to be strong. And we got to start asserting ourselves. We can't be so passive anymore. We just take it and take it and take it and take it. And we watch our politicians. All they do is mouth off and they say, "Oh, this is wrong and that is wrong and this one did this and that one did that." Well, what are you going to do about it? Standing there giving us the whole list of horribles. We already know the list of horribles. We hired you to handle that. So telling us but not doing anything about it is still not doing anything about it. What do you want from us? How can we help you? And then they take money from both sides of the equation, too. You got all these big corporations and big PACs and groups and pulling all kinds of money together and throwing it at the politicians to vote one way. And then you got the small donors, and they're matching the money. Small donors can come up with a lot of money, too, if you got a lot of small donors. So then you got another whole pile of money from the other side. And then the politician does whatever that they are doing in lockstep anyhow and keep both sides of the money. So one side's giving you $100,000 and the other side's matching it with $100,000. And you just, you know, flip a coin, make your vote, and you keep both the wads of money. And like I said, that impeachment thing was all theater. I'm so disgusted with that. It was just going through the motions. It was never going anywhere. But the Republicans wanted a vote on it, and they never got their vote. They wanted a trial, and they wanted to bring up all the, you know, the parade of horribles just for airtime, just to keep it fresh on our minds. And then the other side, Schumer, said, "No, I motioned to table," and they voted to table it, and that was the end of it. It was never going anywhere. We do not have the power in the Senate. So that just got squashed. And they'll hem and haw and bitch about it, but then they'll move on to the next thing. You know, you hear people like Jim Jordan out there shouting all the time, telling us all kinds of horrible stuff. But nothing ever comes of it. You know, and then they have two sides. You got the communists and you got the conservatives. And we shouldn't have actually either of those. Every one of those politicians should have fidelity to the Constitution and fidelity to the people of the United States, their constituents. There shouldn't be any communists. Everybody should be working for the betterment of the country, not one side trying to destroy it and the other side doing their best to make it look like they're trying to stop them, but very ineffective. So the country's being destroyed in front of us, and we're all sitting here like there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, the politicians this, the politicians that. You know, the Constitution said we could drag them out of there if we have to. The answers are in the Constitution. But who's going to do it? You know, at least these Palestinian pro-Hamas people whether they're doing it for Soros or not. They're getting up off their bums and they're going out there and doing it. You don't see a lot of that from the other side. And
yeah,
there shouldn't be another.
The last time we as a whole wanted to do something, we had the worst insurrection ever.
Yeah. That was the lamest insurrection in the world. It was a Fed insurrection. Oh, yeah, that guy came out. He was the aide-de-camp to the general in the D.C. National Guard. And he was talking about the information going back and forth about Trump wanted the National Guard there. But General Flynn's brother, Michael Flynn's brother, Charles Flynn, was one of the people that said no, he didn't like the optics of having the military going into the Capitol
right. And
hustling people out. But the whole thing was a scam set up from the beginning. They had been practicing it. They had been practicing having the feds dress like Trump supporters and having them dress like Antifa, too. So the feds were playing both ends. And in the crowd, when the feds were breaking the window, there were people in the crowd pulling them back, saying, no, we don't do that, we don't do that. So they didn't get anywhere. Of course, the feds got the window broken because that window had to be changed out. That broke like safety glass in a slider. And it never should have, because right after 9/11, they hardened that building and they put 7-inch thick, bomb-proof, shatterproof, gas-proof, sealed glass in every opening in that building. So they had to take that glass out of that window and swap it out, because no way you were getting in that glass with a billy club or a little iron bar, the tool they hit that glass with to break it. And if you see the way the glass broke, you could see it was safety glass. It didn't come out in shards. And let me tell you something. You know, that billy club, the little pipe that they had, it's not going to break 7-inch thick glass. If you could set off a bomb and not break that glass, what do you think a billy club's going to do to it? That's a dead giveaway. That is one of the biggest pieces of evidence, was the real window that was in there. They probably put it back in now. At the Supreme Court, Justice Amy Coney Barrett there,
right.
The DOJ chick was telling her, oh, yeah, they were interfering with official proceeding, and Barrett was saying, well, you know, how did they interfere? Well, they weren't going to let us certify. They said, and she said, well, did it get certified? Yes. How long after? 1 hour. Did anybody that was doing the certification get it hurt or damaged or anything? No. Well, what about the guy who pulled the fire alarm to stop a vote because he was running late? Does that qualify as insurrection? No. Does it interfere with the official proceeding? Yes. Oh, shoot. Now the Atlantic City Boardwalk is on fire.
Is that what Justice Barrett, the question she asked, huh?
Yeah.
See, one thing is that the people that's responsible and the brainchilds for all this, they need to be brought to justice.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to happen is with Donald Trump. Because if they've done it once and get away with it, they will try to do it again. It's all about money is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And until
power. Absolutely.
Until you can control the Congress people's salary input. That's why I say that each state that votes a congressperson or a U.S. senator,
mm-hmm.
they should pay for. And the money that they would otherwise pay to the federal government,
it goes toward that. The U.S. Treasury can do the things that you are paying the Federal Reserve to do, and the interest accumulation is getting close to $1 trillion. Well, what's going to happen when it gets about $5 trillion? That's more than a whole year's income, practically, that comes into the federal government.
Yeah. What do we get? I think it was like $7 trillion we bring in.
No,
and we
got to
pay out $13 trillion.
About $5 trillion.
All right, but I know that we owe out like $13 trillion. We're running serious deficit. I don't know what casino is right next to the Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City, but it's serious on fire. The whole boardwalk. There's some pictures going on Twitter from 18 minutes ago. But I don't see any equipment there yet, but the whole side of the hotel is on fire.
Total
wow.
U.S. federal tax revenue is $4.8
trillion. Okay, so you're right. It's right about $5
trillion. National debt is $35 trillion.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no way that can be paid off.
No.
The federal government spends $6.6 trillion. Actually, they say it's $7 trillion. I think that's what you said. I'm not sure. Don't no one know interest on debt is $809 trillion, fastly approaching $809 billion, fastly approaching $1 trillion. That's the interest alone.
Wow. We'll never pay it. We'll never pay down the debt if we can only afford to just pay the interest.
U.S.
Still not paying
defense
the principal.
And wars is $881.3 billion and climbing.
And we just give away billions and billions of dollars to all these countries. And the rest of the world is letting us, too. So, I mean, we're just saps. We're supporting the world. We're bringing half the world here. And the half that we're not bringing here, we're supporting. And it's all on the backs of the taxpayers. Can't even afford a loaf of bread or a box of cereal for their kids.
The personal debt per citizen is like $76,000.
Yeah, when the median income is what, like 40?
Median income? Tell you that in a minute. Nobody know nothing about this. Median income is $39,475.
Yeah, it's about $40,000, and we owe out $76,000. So we're $36,000 in the hole every year ourselves.
Median
because of
new
it.
Home is $416,000. Now, in 2000, it was $163,000.
Wow.
Get this. Average new car is $51,000.
Wow. See? And no one's going to buy a house because the interest rates are so high. If you're getting a $400,000 house, it's $4,000 a month for mortgage and insurance and taxes. Who's got that kind of money? Wow. So you got to be making $16,000 a month to afford that house because your mortgage shouldn't be more than one quarter of your income. So you got to make $16,000 a month. So who's making $4,000 a week? Nobody I know.
Unless you're an engineer.
Well, yeah, an engineer or some dark doctor, maybe.
On a hell of a
project.
Or a TikTok influencer.
Yeah.
Hey, but speaking of Atlantic City, did you hear about the mayor in Atlantic City? He got arrested yesterday.
I was reading
about
that.
Robert Putin. What? Yeah, that mayor. His name is Marty
Unfunded
Small.
Unfunded liability. You know what that is, don't you? That's like Social Security, Medicaid, things that people have paid into and expect to receive. Get this.
Mm-hmm.
It's $215 trillion.
Yeah,
liabilities that's not funded.
That money should have been there. That money should have been there, but anytime somebody puts a dollar in there, a politician comes and takes it out. And all you open that Social Security vault, all you're going to find is IOUs. The United States government owes Social Security a fortune. And then Obama was taking it out for his Obamacare, remember? And now they're tapping into Social Security to support the migrants. So all the money that people put in there, the politicians think it's like a personal piggy bank and no one's going to miss it. And they always say, well, we're going to pay it back, but they never do. Social Security only gets 13 million
manufacturing jobs, 59 million U.S. retirees, 8 million U.S. disabled.
And that's why they're trying to kill off the elderly with their viruses and their vaccines. You know, that's why they didn't make the kids get them right away, because the kids got to earn the money. But the old ladies in the nursing home and the old guys in the nursing home, all on Social Security and Medicare, yeah, well, they eliminated a whole bunch of their responsibility with that vaccine and that virus, didn't they?
A third of the population is not even working.
Yeah.
Healthcare costs a year costs $15,000.
Wow.
In 2000, it was $5,400.
Hmm.
People can't afford to pay that. And now you got AI taking everybody's damn job. Who's going to be left to pay this stuff?
Right. And the price of medicine goes through the roof if you can find the medicine at all.
Yeah, you might as well just go ahead and die.
Yeah. Do you see that lady in Canada, speaking of go ahead and die? She got the vaccine, and she got paralyzed from it. Mm-hmm. And they admitted that she was one of the vaccine injuries. So you know what they did? They offered to euthanize her. They offered to euthanize her instead of fixing her.
4 years from now, the interest on the debt is going to be $2.8 trillion, the interest now. The debt itself will be $47 trillion, and the federal tax revenue will be $6.1 trillion. It's not going to work.
No. Hey, Jamie Dimon said we were headed for a major crash. And if anyone would know, it would be him, right?
And then what are they going to do then, Joanne?
Going to have to go back to the gold standard. They're going to take the dollar off the world market as the currency of choice. And our money's going to be useless. You're going to need a wheelbarrow full of dollars. It might as well be Confederate money. And this cashless bullshit that they're pimping. You know what they charge you, like transaction fees and stuff? Well, if there's no cash anymore, they can charge you whatever they want. They can charge you...
Oh, and negative interest rates. Don't forget negative interest rates.
Right. And compounded interest. charge you whatever they want.
An unrealized capital gain.
Yep. Unreal.
So if they say your house is worth $2 million this week and then it's worth $20,000 next week, then you pay the tax on that $2
million. Right.
Because you should
have
been smart enough to sell it.
In your house, and if you do any improvements in your house, even putting on a new roof, the value of your property goes up, so your taxes go up. Wow. And I wanted to tell you about that mayor in Atlantic City, seeing that, you know, we brought it up, that the pier on Atlantic City and Tennessee Avenue was on fire. This guy is the mayor of Atlantic City. His name is Marty Small Sr., and he's accused of beating his teenage daughter unconscious in a used broom. Says the Democrat is allegedly caught on film beating his daughter for disapproving of her boyfriend. The girl was FaceTiming the boyfriend, and the father beat her, and the mother beat her, too. It says it gets crazier. After the allegations came out, the mayor dragged his daughter to a press conference where he denied the allegations. Small and his wife would allegedly punch their 16-year-old daughter in the mouth, beat her unconscious with a broom, and whip her with a belt. And according to court documents, the boyfriend secretly filmed the beating on FaceTime, where he witnessed her getting choked. And it says the daughter eventually spoke to a school counselor about the abuse. It says Small's also accused of beating the girl so badly that she miscarried twins. So the mayor's charged with endangering the welfare of a child, terroristic threats, and aggravated assault. And that's the mayor of Atlantic City. What a sleazebag. Oh, the other one, the Defense Department guy's wife. Did you hear about her? She's a teacher. This guy works for the Defense Department. He's like secretary to something, some big shot. His wife is a teacher. She was found at 3 o'clock in the morning in her husband's Defense Department car with a 17-year-old student of hers. Both of them were stark naked and busted having sex. Can you imagine being him going to work the next day at the Defense Department? Yeah, I think I'd take some time off if I were him. But can you imagine that? That, you know, if that was a guy, she'd be promptly in jail. If that was a male teacher.
Credit card debt is $1.5 trillion. Student loan
right up there
is $1.6 trillion.
That's right up there with the interest rate. That's even money. That's no good either. So
U.S. This is in 2028. The trade deficit with China is going to only be $67 billion.
Oh. Wow.
So we in
That's
bad
a lot
shape,
of money.
Joanne.
You ain't kidding. We're in unsustainable territory. And we don't have any other sources of revenue. We're peeing through money. Maybe these politicians know that. And they're just doing supermarket sweep and trying to get as much as they can. Before the crash.
Supermarket sweep.
Really? Yeah. You know, they're just going to get as much cash as they can, and then they're going to head for the hills. And you're all on your own when it crashes, like they did
in the
Depression.
The trade deficit right now with China is $279 billion, and it's going to drop down by $200 billion in 4 years. I wonder what's going to happen in that period of time. Maybe
you know what's
going to
happen?
Trump to be elected.
You know, the FDIC only insures bank accounts up to $250,000. They don't care if you've got $20 million in the bank. They're only going to cover $250,000. So that tells you right there that banks are going to confiscate your money. They'll lock the doors. No one will get in. And they'll just go bankrupt like they did during the Depression. People lost their jobs, their houses, all their possessions, banks closed, politicians resigned in droves. people committed suicide, big money handlers. That's what's going to happen. And you know they're going to try to lighten the load, so they will kill off the old ladies and the old gents, so they don't have to give them Social Security. I don't know what they're going to do about all the welfare recipients. But, how, you know, if the government's got no money, how are these people going to live? You know, we've told people to prepare. You know, back in the day, people had gardens and they did their home canning and all of that, and they just called that everyday living. That was their way of life. Now we call it prepping. But it's the same thing. If you got a couple of extra bucks at the end of the week, buy an extra bag of rice. If you got pets, buy an extra bag of pet food. You know, and next week, buy some extra toilet paper or an extra laundry detergent. And, you know, every time you get a dollar, buy something for a dollar that's going to last, dry beans, things like that. If you don't have a garden, you got to start putting back supplies that are going to last. You have to have food, water, shelter, fire. You have to have the ability to make fire. If you don't know how to make a fire, go practice. Because when there's no oil or you can't afford oil or gas or electric and you're in your house and you don't have any of those things, at least you can go out in the backyard and light a fire in your fire pit and cook yourself something. And you got to, you know, if it gets down to even worse, you might have to make one of those little torches for inside the house that's not going to burn down your house because you don't want smells of food getting out. Because hungry people will do crazy things. If you're a guy and you got five little kids to feed and you smell someone cooking burgers down the street and you're in the middle of a depression, you're going to go get those burgers for those kids. You know, so watch out with the smells, too. But Jamie Dimon, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Well, he said we're headed for a serious crash, maybe worse than anything that this country's ever seen. So we all have to behave and be smart.
Well, all we have to do is let Brandon win in November or not have it on a November election, and we'll get that. There's a lot of liberals out there that said they would rather have that crash than have Trump again.
Because of mean tweets?
Yes.
You know, that's the way we're going to defeat them, by the way. Be mean. We have to be strong, and we have to be mean. They don't listen to facts. Bianchi just told us a story about how he was having a conversation with a guy, and he was hitting him with facts, and then the guy didn't want to hear it anymore.
Right, that's how it works.
Forget facts. Go after them. Tell them they're ugly. Tell them they're stupid. Tell them they don't know anything. You know, tell them I don't even want to talk to you because you're just wasting your time and mine. We don't have any time to wake up the sheep anymore. We have to gather up the lions now. We tried waking them up. We've been trying for 14 years. And those who are awake, God bless them. Those who are not, I hope they can take orders.
Not even no time. And we're just not interested anymore.
Yeah.
There's only so long that you can tell people what's going on and they still curse you out and stuff.
Yeah, well, they can curse me all they want. But me and mine are going to make it. I hope they can say that about themselves. You have to have a way to protect yourself, too. You notice all these illegals are coming up with guns. Where are they getting the guns? You know, pulling guns on cops, pulling guns on each other. Fast and
probably
furious.
Meanwhile, they're telling us that we don't need the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to vote for Ukraine to be able to protect its borders. But Americans can't protect not only their borders, but they can't protect their own damn house.
Yeah, well, we could protect our borders just fine if we all got together and said that's what we wanted to do.
You're absolutely right.
But you can't get three Americans in the same room to agree on anything. Everybody's oh so important now that you even have to know their pronouns. Hi, my pronouns are me, my. Yeah. You're not that important, honey. Everybody thinks that they're so special and they have to be so opposite, or they have to have something that's just unique about them. You're not unique. Your life is your own, and what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. But as far as being a member of society, we're all members of society, and everybody's just as important as everybody else. You're not special. And once we pull it together and start thinking that way, we can join up. And we can straighten this all out. Our founders did it. Our forefathers did it. It can be done. They were facing the same adversities. It's all in the first 10 amendments. Just by reading those amendments, you know what was going on.
It's nothing that conservatives are asking for other than to be left the hell alone.
Right.
But, oh, no. They got to do away with your guns. They got to do away with your cars. They got to do away with your big gulps. They want you, your kids to be exposed to illicit sexual material. They want your daughters to be able to have abortions on demand. They want your kids to be able to alter their sex. They want to change you. And all
right.
We ask is, be left alone. If you want to kill your babies, just follow the law. That's all we ask. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Right. But when they're talking about abortion after the baby is born, that's not abortion. The mother's not pregnant anymore.
And we want to be able to have prayer. We want to be able to call our mother mommy. And our father, daddy. Oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, but yes, we can. We just don't because we listen to these fools. All we got to do is tell them, shut up, you make no sense.
An argument that they will give up everything that they believe in just so nobody yells at them.
Yeah, but that's what you got to do. You got to yell at them. It hurts their feelings. They don't think in facts. They think in feelings. Their feelings do not trump your rights.
Joanne, they want us to start eating insects. We can't have a steak. We can't have a pork chop.
Yeah, but yes, we can. We can get rid of these people. We just don't know it. Those people are no more powerful than we are. Give them the power. They only have the power we give them. We got to stop giving them the power. And we got to start humiliating them. Ridicule works. It's a very, very potent weapon. But when you tell them, when they're standing there saying to you, oh, about the, you know, the, got to get rid of oil. Just get out of here. You don't make any sense. You're standing there in your nylon jogging pants. And your creosote sneakers, and you're holding a plastic-cased phone, telling me you're going to get rid of oil. Everything I just told you, every item I just mentioned is oil-based. You're not going to get rid of oil. You're just putting it in the hands of a very small few. You're not getting rid of it. You're just giving up authority over it.
They want to put people in positions because of the color of their skin, like in Baltimore.
They put this lady who was on the port commission, and she was nothing. She was really not to be denigrated. She was just like a diversity hire. Now they want to put her in charge of the operation, overseeing the operation to remove the debris that's in the river from the old bridge and also on the construction of the new bridge. Well, the Corps engineers can do that very well. And the general contractor.
Yeah, they don't need her.
She knows nothing about that. She just has a black face.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely wrong, and it's dangerous. You know, if you want black people to do these jobs, you train them to do the jobs, and you train them to do it right. You don't just hire them off the street because they're black and put them in over their heads. Because that doesn't benefit them or the community.
Actually, it makes it worse.
You're not doing them any favor.
It makes it worse, you know? Because then if say, Buttigieg, they hire him because he's a gay, then obviously we all know he can't run any Department of Transportation. So when the next gay person comes in, they're going to say, oh, we have a Buttigieg all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in over his head, too. He doesn't know. Yeah, streets are racist because they separate a nice neighborhood from a bad neighborhood. It's a freaking street. It's not like it's a wall or iron bars. It's a street that people on both sides of it can use to travel on. That's why we have streets, so you can get from one side to the other.
So what happens if a black person fixes up their property? Or a whole black community fixes up their properties in unison. All of a sudden, they're racist because they don't want to be living in squalor?
Yeah, they won't call them racist, but they wouldn't have any problem raising their taxes.
What they do is that they draw these voting districts, and they swing the line over and snatch that black couple, that black household, and put them in that all-black district. And the black household may be 15-20 miles away from the edge of the district. What kind of crazy mess is that? And that do exist, by the way. I've heard people tell stories about that. Say, all of a sudden, I got to travel 15 miles to go vote.
Yeah. That's true. You know, that bridge actually did join two neighborhoods that were starkly opposite. One side of that bridge is Dundalk, which is a poorer area, a more lower middle class area. The working people, but working poor. And on the other side of that bridge is one of the nicest areas in Baltimore. And that bridge is how those people got from one side to the other. That's quite the bridge, too, because it's also on a, 395. It's on the 395. It goes into the port, but it goes into the other parts of Baltimore, too. But it's a main artery into and out of the city. Otherwise, you do have to go 20 miles out of your way to get around it. So it's very important that bridge get rebuilt. But they're saying it's going to take 10 years. It only took 4 years to build the original. But now you got to deal with the unions and the permits.
How long is it going to take?
And the inspectors. They said it might take up to 10 years to replace that bridge.
Oh, bull crap. It's just one span.
The Sunshine Skyway Bridge was built in three.
Hell, it's just one span. They can. What they would do is have two barge cranes, and they would ship it down to the point of lifting on a barge, and they would pick it up and set it in place. How in the heck is that going to take 10 years?
If they're really going to do a good job, if they're serious, they should get the engineers that did the Sunshine Skyway and the Zakim Bridge in Boston and the Skyway Bridge in Tampa. Those bridges are very well built. Each section is independently suspended. So if something hits it, it's not going to fall into the ocean. It's going to be suspended from those big, huge cables. And they make the cables look nice, too. Like the cables on the Sunshine Skyway look like giant sails on a sailboat. And the Zakim Bridge looks like wishbones.
Well, it shouldn't take no 10 years. That's a third
well,
you've got to
figure
them.
Baltimore is corrupt. You got to talk to everybody from construction workers and construction companies and subcontractors. You got to get permits. You got to have inspectors. Everybody's making money. The politicians are in on it. There's a lot of money coming in there, so everybody wants a piece of it, and that's going to slow things down. You can't, you know, like the Army Corps of Engineers, after Hurricane Ian, a bridge flew out down in Cape Coral, and it's a causeway bridge. The Army Corps of Engineers in 2 weeks had that put back together. In 2 weeks. So it can be done. I mean, that bridge is going to take a lot longer than 2 weeks because it's not a causeway. It has to be suspended, and it's a lot more work. But it can be done. You know, it can be back up in a couple of years, but once you clear the debris, at least the port, the shipping can resume. Maybe not the land travel, but the shipping can resume, which will be half the project.
Well, what you say, 10 years, oh my, that's a third to a quarter of an average worker's lifespan in the trades.
Well, that's what they're projecting it to be.
Well, they're crazy. Well, I'm not saying they're crazy, but it sounds very, very unusual to me. Hell, the Stan Musial Bridge there in St. Louis didn't take no 10 years to do. Now, in fact, you can watch it being built on time-lapse cameras.
Yeah, well, you got all those corrupt politicians and mafia and everything else running the show up there, Baltimore, New York, Boston, Hartford.
And why did Baltimore... Why did Baltimore have illegals doing grunt work, patching holes in the pavement? And you got an abundant number of unemployed in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And the ladies say that we're about diversity. We have a shipping company from India. We have workers from El Salvador. Is she crazy? And where are the black folks to complain about that? In
Maryland?
Those
would be nice jobs for the people who live in Dundalk. Those are good paying jobs. And they said, well, it wasn't because there was government work doing the potholes, or wasn't the government that hired the illegals. It was the subcontractors that the government hired that hired the illegals. Well, the government should be responsible for that. They should be overseeing that. You know, and what about these union guys? That's union work. How'd those illegals get that work?
That's right.
You know, Baltimore's a forced union city. It's not a right-to-work state, Maryland. So that's a union state. You even pay the union when you're not in the union. So
well,
how did illegals get union
workers,
jobs?
You got so many government workers from D.C. that's living in Maryland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you got a lot of D.C. people living in Virginia. You know, they do all this leftist crap, and then they run off to a blue state to live.
Yeah, like in Fume, who was the head of the NAACP. I think he was in government there in Baltimore.
Yeah, that Marilyn Mosby, remember that she was the mayor of
Marilyn Mosby,
Baltimore.
She's been indicted.
Yeah, and the one before her was indicted, too.
There's nothing but a bunch of damn corruption. And these are black ran cities. I don't know of any black ran city Democrat that's prosperous. Maybe one.
And a dollar comes in there, and they all want a piece of it. We lose more money just paying out the VIG.
Hell, look at Detroit. Look at St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, St. Louis. The Sheriff Jones. He's got all kind of problems. Business is closed. The school is down there, down to nothing. You go into school, you hear echoes. There's so small number of students in them.
Yeah, well, they drive these cities into the ground. No one wants to live there anymore. The ones that can get out do get out. And the ones that can't get out, they're left to wallow in the crime and the blight and the squalor.
Yeah, they complain about redlining. You know, redlining is good. It tells you where not to raise your kids. It tells you where not to send your kids to school. It tells you where not to shop. It tells you where not to buy a home. It tells you where not to go to the grocery store. It tells you where not to drive your car because the insurance rate is high as hell.
Yeah, they're selling off abandoned property in Baltimore right now for a dollar. As long as you promise to fix it up. You've
got to
have $90,000 in the bank.
Fix it up too.
Well, you got to have $90,000 in the bank to show that you can cover repairs. I don't know, but you can buy the property for a dollar. Just rich people. You know that they're regentrifying it.
And you know who else
go down and buy a whole block of row houses.
You know who else,
Joanne? A couple. BlackRock.
You know who else? Chinese. That's being financed by... No, you got Chinese and you got black banks that's being financed by the Chinese, and they're making the loans on those type of homes.
That's what
it's
we should do. We should set up an LLC. We should set up an LLC and crowdsource and buy ourselves a block of those row homes up there and fix them up, flip them, and buy another block. But they want to regentrify the city. Well, it's that time. We're about to get our minute's notice. Bianchi, thank you very much for calling in and sticking with us. We had those technical difficulties last night. Proof, I'm really happy we were able to get on the air tonight.
Well, same here. I miss talking to you. So we'll be back next week. So everyone, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until Monday, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am Boots.